Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade Channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. My email address is bam@Catholicism.org. That's bam@Catholicism.org. I can also be found easily on Twitter @Brother_Andre and on Facebook. Tonight's show is on passing on tradition. And my guest in the second segment will be St. Benedict Center's own Sister Maria Filomena, the director of the St. Augustine Institute of Wisdom. A couple of years ago, I wrote an article that I called Traditionalism is an Affirmation. And this article was posted on the Catholicism.org website. You'll see it linked from the show details page on Reconquest.net concerning this show. This article got picked up by a couple of other sources. It was republished on the Rerate Celi website, and it was also republished in a UK-based journal called Christian Order. And because I said what I said there fairly compactly, and I don't know that I could talk about it extemporaneously, what I'm going to do in this show, first segment anyway, is read to you that article with a few little side comments here and there. One of the most important things for a person to have is an identity. This is why names are so important to us. Adam was given the power to name things in the Garden of Eden, showing that he had dominion over the rest of creation, including Eve, whom he named. When a child finds out that a large, strange-looking animal has a name, he finds comfort in the fact, knowing that if it has a name, and if mommy and daddy can identify it, the thing must not be all that terrifying. It is known. Traditional Catholics or traditionalists name themselves this way because of their embrace of the traditions of the Church. That is, they do so in the face of large-scale abandonment of those traditions by the hierarchy, the lower clergy, and the faithful alike. It is why the name Catholic is not always adequate, though it should be. Beyond that very generic concept of what traditionalism is, there are manifold and disparate understandings of what exactly defines the identity of the traditionalist. Avoiding rigid dogmatism where the Church has given us no dogmatic definitions, we must be willing to die for Catholic dogma, but not for our own opinions, I would like to consider what traditionalism is in its essence. Contrast clarifies the mind, so I will begin with what traditionalism is not. Traditionalism is not a negation. It is not a denial. It is not a finger-pointing followed by a you're wrong. There is a name for that ideology, Protestantism. Protestantism is not a content, but an anti-content. It is not an affirmation, but a negation. Certainly, the Catholic must assent to the Church's condemnations as well as to her definitions. But a condemnation's existence is contingent on two things. First, the truth that came, and then an error that denies the truth. In other words, a condemnation, though good and necessary, only arises because some villain, perhaps Satan himself, concocted a denial of God's truth. But God's truth came first, and that's the important thing. The text of the Council of Trent provides us with an illustration of this. Trent affirms Catholic truth in its decrees, which are comparatively lengthy texts that explain Catholic doctrine in detail. At the end of those content-rich decrees, the Council then condemns various errors in brief canons. So the short answer to the question concerning a traditionalist identity is that he is a Catholic who affirms the dogmatic truths, moral teachings, and liturgical traditions of the Church. This is substantial and primary. That he does so in the face of opposition, not only from the world, but from others calling themselves Catholic, is secondary and accidental. Let us not invert that order, lest we allow the enemy to dictate our identity to us. And in a real sense, we become reactionaries rather than those who are essentially positively affirming something. A word about the quest for an identity. I believe that This is a very modern phenomenon, a product of the rootlessness of modern culture, which severs us from our traditions, our land, and our people. Modernity homogenizes us all, effectively uprooting local custom and cultures. The Catholic is a member of the universal church, but he is not thereby a citizen of the universe. He is localized, and his encounter with the faith is in the context of place, language, and custom. A Catholic from 14th century France and his co-religionist from 4th century Egypt possessed the same faith, morals, and religion, with priests, bishops, mass, sacraments, etc. But the variety of language, ritual, and custom was great. We can call this enculturation. It's not a totally bad word. The word can be used rightly. The faith is encultured in as much as it is incarnated in a specific culture. That is, as it should be, that there be these differences. We receive the faith locally. We live it in our families. We utter it in our tongues. We practice it in this church building with people from this community. I think of the Italian notion of campanilismo and the Carlist conception of fueros, which are political and cultural expressions of this. The campanilismo means the spirit of the bell tower. It's the feeling, it's the sense of belonging that Italians have when they hear the bell tower from the parish where they grew up. Because when you're in that parish, you can hear that bell tower basically to the bounds of the parish. You have a sense of belonging. It's your place. That there's a certain comfort, consolation that comes from hearing those particular bells. And that spirit of the bell tower is the spirit of that place, that locality, as it is kind of dictated literally by the sound of the bell tower, which is, after all, in the church, the very center of the cultural, religious life of the people there. So that's a very important concept. It illustrates something about Catholic culture. Also, fueros, we talked about with Dr. Wilhelmsen when we spoke of the Carlist traditionalist idea of politics. It's simply a particular Spanish embodiment of what we would call the principle of subsidiarity or local rule, something analogous to what we call in the American context states' rights, but it embraces a bit more than that. Again, it focuses on the local, the sort of the organic, and the natural structure of society based primarily upon the family and then on more local society, not this large, gigantic nation state, which is completely amalgamated and homogenized, where we lose our identity very easily in the abstraction of the national patriotism. So these two concepts, campanilismo and fueros, very much illustrate the concept of locality that I'm talking about. The living out of the faith is what produces a Catholic culture, and that culture is what ought to impress itself on our young, forming their convictions, eliciting their actions, commanding their reactions. An identity, a genuine one anyway, is forged in this organic fashion. We don't put them on and take them off like clothing or like an indecisive college student does his major. That is what the rootless, restless, modern man does, and this is one cause of his insanity. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. I'm your host, Brother Andre Marie, and we are talking about passing on tradition this evening. In our day, of course, the faith is not being lived in places where it used to be. The Italian bell towers that give those in their hearing the sense of home still toll, but they often herald the offering of a bizarre liturgy, the preaching of a watered-down doctrine, and the religiosity of conformity to the standards of this world. So campanilismo, the spirit of the bell tower, does not fully represent what it once did. The same is true elsewhere in the universal church. Thus it is that traditionalists travel, sometimes great distances, for a traditional mass, with the catechesis and the culture that also go with it. But we can still do very much to live the faith in our families and in our communities. In so doing, We must resist the temptation to make traditionalism into an ideology, a reaction, or a negation of what other people do. Traditionalism is what we are, what we know, what we do. Here, then, I will catalog some of the things traditionalists affirm, or what we ought to affirm. And by the way, this is not intended to be complete. We affirm the Catholic Credo in all its integrity. We affirm that the Catholic Church is the one bride of Christ, and that its faith and its religion are the only divinely revealed ways to believe in and serve the living God. Consequently, the Catholic Church is the only path to salvation. We affirm that divine truth is assailed by enemies of God's Church, and that the faithful must contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints, to quote St. Jude from verse 3 of his one chapter epistle. We affirm the supernatural constitution of the Church, the natural hierarchy of the family, and the rule of Christ the King in society. To what degree we can, we will work to preserve or restore these things in our own families and our own communities. For the world, the flesh, and the devil are undermining this order established by God. We affirm that the Church's public worship of God, her liturgy, has been handed down to us with great care by our fathers in the faith. This has been done in a beautiful variety of rites in the East and the West. It is wrong to cast off these treasures of centuries of careful development under the protection of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we will practice them, honor them, love them, and teach them to our children, these sacred rites, these sacred traditional rites of the Holy Church, be they Western rites like the traditional Latin Mass, or the beautiful and very different rites of the Eastern churches. The authentic response to evil, continuing with our list of affirmations here, the authentic response to evil is a life of Christian virtue and holiness. Very important. Let's not be the angry traditionalist who just rants that things aren't like they were before Vatican II. That is not, as they say now, helpful. So the authentic response to evil is a life of Christian virtue and holiness, which is none other than the faithful response to one's primary vocation, that is, the common call, the common baptismal call to sanctity, lived according to the mode of our secondary vocation, that is, whether we be priests, religious, married folk, or single people living in the world. So we live out our primary vocation to holiness, our baptismal call. We live that out in our secondary vocation, that is, those other states in life. There is much that is dark and evil in life, but if we choose to allow ourselves to be consumed by it, then shame on us. St. Paul notes that what we lost in Adam is far exceeded by what we gained in Christ. This is in chapter 5 of Romans. One need not have faith to see wickedness and despair. They are too evident to the senses. Recall that the pagan world was a very despairing world. The gospel brought us light and brought us hope. The real marvel is the amount of good that actually exists and that does take faith to see. Water regenerating sinners as God's children and heirs to heaven. God himself coming down on our altars in the appearances of bread and wine. The gospel being preached to the poor. And that gospel itself, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the good news. Good because it comes from the good God, and news because it needs to be told. We have a treasure in the Church's traditional liturgy. We also have great commentaries on it, none better than Dom Guéranger's liturgical year. By the way, St. Thérèse of Lisieux said that she owes what sanctity she has to the fact that when she was a child, the family read from Dom Guéranger's liturgical year every night. And this is what gave her something of a Catholic sense, a sense of the liturgy. By the way, you can buy that, that whole set, it's a 14-volume set, at store.catholicism.org. But whether you buy it from our store or not, it's a great thing to read, to pass on a love of the traditional liturgy and all of the Church's traditions that go with it. It's not just about the liturgy. It's a veritable library of Catholic wisdom. We also have Holy Scripture, the writings of the fathers and doctors of the Church, and great intellectual and artistic monuments of Catholic culture that were born of Christian societies. All that we have, plus God Himself, the angels, the saints, and a promise of future glory if we persevere. And let us not forget that we have Our Lady, whom we call the cause of all our joy. If, with all that, we need to go in search of an identity or define in purely negative terms against some other class of people what we are, then we really have no clue what tradition is. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Channel of the Veritas Radio Network. I am your host, Brother Andre Marie. When we come back after the break, we'll be joined by my guest, Sister Maria Filomena. Please keep listening.
You're listening to Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.